Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in the 87th part of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 189. If you'd like a copy of it, let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. And if you do, Sharon will give you four different ways on how to receive it. And remember, it's absolutely free. And the postage and handling is also paid for. We have some letters this evening. And this should be a real good program, so make sure you don't switch over to Bozo, okay? Let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, you always too pour out your anointing whenever I'm ready to bring a message, whenever you move on me to bring a message. And I thank and praise you for that with all my heart and all my soul, because you know, Father, very well that I wouldn't be able to speak at all. I'm not good at speaking, but with you, when you're talking through me, it's just wonderful. I love to listen in myself. Anoint me, Lord, openly so that the world can see the manifestation of your Spirit living in and through me. You bring the message this evening, Lord. I know it'll be a good one, that the people in the world will be saved and that the church will be edified. I ask it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Piscataway, New Jersey.
Okay.
I am writing this comment to inform you that I have received your newsletters and your book, The Messiah. I was amazed to see how many newsletters you sent me. This gave my husband and I a wonderful opportunity to sit down and read them together. Every day is a learning experience, and your ministries are helping us get involved more with the Word of God. Thank you so much for my package and your insights. Shalom, Christine from Piscataway, New Jersey.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Next letter's from Luanda, Angola, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I'm honored to respectfully come to you, Pastor Alamo. Through the Messiah book that you sent me, God has performed great miracles here in Angola. The people are deeply moved by the contents of the book. They are confessing that Jesus is God, the Savior. The Alamo Christian Church in Angola is becoming very well known through the distribution of the literature and the Messiah books. Dear Pastor Alamo, I am consecrated full-time in the work of the Lord for the Alamo Christian Church to grow and for the distribution of your literature. I have a crew of 20 people. They are available to go on missionary voyages into all the provinces of Angola to distribute the literature and the Messiah book. You are truly a father, dear Pastor Alamo, of this revival in Angola, which has spent nearly 25 years at war and which has not known the truth that is in Jesus. They need the word of truth. Please, dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I cannot flatter you, yet since I began to read your literature, I feel like there is a fire in my heart to work to win lost souls. I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I believe it. Amen. If you are able, lend me a hand to win lost souls here in Angola. Life is very difficult here. My request is that you would send me 1,000 copies of the Messiah book and literature in French and Portuguese every month. Include 100 Bibles, 50 in French and 50 in Portuguese. In finishing, I would like to remind you about the instruments that I asked for in the computer for the translations and a tape duplication machine that I can do 20 tapes at a time. This would be to record the Messiah book into the maternal languages of the country. We have some land that we can build a center on for the literature and the books by you, Tony Alamo. If you are interested, you can write to us and send it to my email address. For an honest collaboration, please receive our fraternal greetings in Jesus Christ's name, Pastor Daniel from Luanda, Angola, Africa.
This is wonderful. And anyone in Radio Land, or if you're listening to this program on our website, whatever church you're going to, even you Catholics, you can get out here and distribute this literature, because it is soul-winning literature, and you immediately, you may say, well, I've never been called to evangelize, I've never been called to be a preacher or a teacher or anything like that, but the minute you begin distributing my literature, and you know that it's soul-winning literature, you become an evangelist. And all the credits that I'll get in the kingdom of heaven, you'll be partaker in also. Every evangelist that is distributing this literature is a part of this work, and you'll be very happy. Now, the Bible states that the seed is not money. The Bible tells us, Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God, and you'll be sowing seed. And it's seeds of mercy, because only the Word of God can win souls. It's the Spirit of God that draws them. And there's no way that the Spirit is going to do anything other than draw people to Christ if the Word, which is Christ, is spoken, so, or written and distributed. So if you'll distribute the literature in whatever church you're with, you know, the literature is free, and you can give it to your friends, and it'll absolutely amaze you when you see what happens when your friends or even your enemies read this literature, because they're going to be changed. And that's, you know, I just have seen so much of it that I believe that with all my heart and soul. And it's happened so many thousands of times. So, and the Lord put into my mind, into my spirit, to say these things on radio so that everyone knows that they can too become an evangelist, a distributor of this literature. And you will, and remember, it's all free. There's people that are asking for all these pieces of literature. We send it to them right away in Bibles, and there's no cost whatsoever. It's like you can start your own church everywhere in the world, and we can just keep the churches going, and you're going to learn from the tapes and from the literature and these radio broadcasts. So, everybody, let's get busy. The Lord is coming back to earth again, and this is what the Lord wants, so let's get busy and do it. Amen?
Amen.
And it just makes me feel real good to know that there are people out there that are getting saved and that there are people that want to be distributors. Okay, so you have another letter?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
From Guayaquil, Ecuador. Dear Pastor, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A brother gave me your world newsletter, and after reading it, I realized that everything written is right on the mark of the Word. Because nowadays there's a great flow of people who are trying to deceive the Christians. Please, brother, I beseech you to send me 4 Bibles, a Bible dictionary, the Messiah book, and literature to give to other people who are not saved. Signed, Ruth from Guayaquil, Ecuador.
Praise the Lord. She wants to be a distributor. Well, there you go. So distributors all over the world. The world will get evangelized very quickly. I know my friend that owned Cashbox magazine, that was the Bible of the recording industry. He said, Tony, everybody in the entertainment industry knows that you're right, but what do we do? And I said, well, get the word to everybody. He says, well, we don't know how to preach and everything. And it's just not, just a few days ago, the Lord told me to do a campaign here and get people to become evangelists, to distributors of the literature. We've got many hundreds of them now, and just think how fast the world will be evangelized, will be saved to the Lord, led to the Lord, if everyone that hears and wants to be a distributor, they get excited from it and they feel hopeless or helpless. So I told him, you know, that just keep praying and speaking to God, read the Bible. But this is even, we have to do all those things too, but you can become a distributor and start sowing mercy. If we sow one carrot seed outside, the harvest that we're going to get is one carrot. But if you sow millions of carrot seeds, you're going to have a harvest of millions of carrots. It's the same thing. Like I said, Jesus said that the seed is the Word of God, and that it won't come back void. When you sow it into human beings, like, for instance, passing a piece of literature to them and they read it and they get saved, the more pieces of literature that you distribute, the more people are going to be saved. That's just common sense. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so do we have another letter? Okay, that's it. Okay, now, I can't remember. Now, the kingdom of heaven is within. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't recall exactly. You told me to mention something that I told you the other day. What was that about?
You asked me, where is the kingdom of heaven?
Well, I was asking where the kingdom of heaven is, and of course, the kingdom of heaven is within. It's inside of us. That's what the Lord says. And so, when we ask the Lord, when we tell him, he says, everything that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So if we bind the devil by exposing Satan, well, then God will have mercy on us and bind the devil that is bugging us. And it'll be bound inside of us. Now, everybody has problems. And Satan is hitting everyone and is bombarding your souls, your spirits, your body with temptations of every kind. But if we bind, we expose these things, if we confess our faults one to another and make open confessions, the Bible says that open confessions are good for the soul. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what you're doing, is exposing Satan in yourself so that people will remind you, like when they see you maybe being inclined to do something that is satanic, they remind you of it because you've exposed it. And because of the fact that you've exposed it, the kingdom of heaven that entered you when you became saved will be, God will bind it inside you, the thing that is your desire, the lust that you have inside of you, because you openly bound it on earth. That's really a revelation that the Lord gave me, and I thought it was really good, and so did Sharon. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's begin. Another thing, I just saw an interview or a speech given by President Bush today. It was a conference that he had with Ehud Olmert, from the Premier of Israel. Huh?
Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister, I mean. And Mr. Bush, President Bush, is saying, you know, that we're 100% for Israel, and that he is as well. And this is something that I've exposed many, many years ago. Now, if people will remember Henry Kissinger, he was very busy doing everything that he could to get the Pope, where his headquarters would be, not in Rome anymore, but in Israel. Now, this is the last power play of Satan. And so the way that this will be done, and I am everybody stated that knows me from the entertainment industry and the political arena said that I'm the number one promoter in the world, and I understand promotion very well. Now, if I were Satan, and I wanted to set up my headquarters in Israel so that I could tell people, if I were the Jewish Pope, well, when you see Jewish popes, the Jewish people will not believe that a Pope is the Messiah unless he is part Jewish, at least. He's got to be half Jewish, and it's even more so if he is 100% a Jew. And Mr. Kissinger, I exposed him for doing everything that he could in his power to move the supposed, quote, Holy See, the Rome, the location of the Pope, from Rome into the Holy Land, which is Israel, into Jerusalem. And I would, if I was the devil, I would start causing so much trouble with Israel. If I ran the Vatican, I would support the Palestinians to just keep doing suicide bombs and tell them all kinds of fables and everything, where they could just keep causing the Israelites so much trouble that they'd be looking for a Messiah. the Prince of Peace, that the only way that Israel will end their troubles is if they let the Pope, who says he's the Messiah, into Israel. And so President Bush is saying, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do. This is all, they've already figured it out, I know, because they're real good at promotion too. And I can't think of any other way that they could possibly do this. And so what they do is say, now, Palestinians, here is the Messiah. And all he is a devil-possessed pope. And you know, Israel, we're going to bring the Messiah in. He wants to come in, and if he does, he will put his hand up and stop all the oppression that you people have if you'll just bow down and worship him. That's exactly what they're doing now. If you people will let this Pope into Israel, the heat will be off and that'll cause peace in the Middle East. And so they'll appeal to the Jews. We figured out that this man that is the Pope says that he's the Messiah, then, and if he let him into the Holy Land, all the nations will do what the Pope says. And if these Palestinians cause any trouble anymore, the Pope will give the orders, the Messiah will give the orders to wipe them off the map. And say they'll say, remember how what God did to Egypt? Well, he'll do the same thing to these Palestinians. Now, Jews, will you let the Messiah in? Now, that's exactly what they're doing. And you watch it and see. Now, America, even Bush said, if these Palestinians don't see the light, we're going to have to go one step further. He said in so many words that we're just going to have to go over there and make them do it by starting a war. But then all of a sudden, this Jewish Pope, who will say he's the Messiah, will rise up because it says it in the Bible that this man who is not like his fathers, in other words, he's Jewish, will be fierce and so on and so forth. I'm not going to get into that because we have another message tonight, but this, I want everyone to be alerted because you probably saw that conference with the Prime Minister of Israel and Mr. Bush, and that's what it's coming to. And when you see the abomination that maketh desolate, then know that the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is back. This man is no Messiah. There is no man that is a Messiah. The Bible states that when the Messiah comes back to earth again, when Jesus comes back, every eye will see him, and he will cometh in clouds. Amen?
Amen.
So you know for sure that this man is as phony as a $32.5 bill. All right? He's a joke. So prepare yourself to see this happen. And it will probably happen within the next 2-3 years. Because every effort that they're going to make with the Palestinians, they've been instructed to just don't go along with anything. Because they want all the peace to be credited to this false Messiah from Rome. Now watch and see if what I am telling you is the truth or not. I guarantee that's what they're doing. It's just a promo. That's all it is a promo. And they don't care how many people they kill in the process. The suicide bombers, the administration, the Pope, and all the evil people on the face of this earth. And everybody will love President Bush, because he is showing himself to be friendly to the Jews. He's a Catholic. And you can believe without a doubt that President Bush wants the Pope to be in to run Israel, because he does everything the Pope says and swears that he will do everything the Pope says anyway. And that's what the Pope wants, the Catholics, the Vatican wants more than anything, is to have one of their boys right in the Holy Land, sitting in the temple there. Henry Kissinger attempted to do that. When I exposed him, you never heard of Kissinger hardly at all anymore. They were building him up. They had him on Time magazine saying he was the sexiest man in the world. And all sorts of things like that. Yes. See, the Vatican runs the entire news media, and they can say anything they want. They could say Porky Pig is the handsomest person in the world, too, because they run the media. All right, so so much for that now. And remember, this is one of the most important things you'll ever hear on one of my broadcasts, because they're maneuvering this Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist movement on Earth today. He's just one of the Antichrists. He's the head of it. And you'll see that it shall come to pass. All right, now, the Prime Minister is not aware of it. These Jews over there, they don't have a clue as to what's going on. They can't figure out why these people will not stop tormenting them. They just can't figure it out. And here they're saying, we want to have peace, and we'll split Israel up and give the Palestinians half of it, and we'll take the other half, and we'll put a border there where no one can cross and everything. And as soon as they do that, they're still going to keep raising Hades over there in the Holy Land, because they're going to keep on until it's so miserable that the Jews will fall down and worship this Pope when he walks in as the Messiah, and he will make a decree that anyone that doesn't bow down and worship him, because everybody in the world knows that this turmoil over there has never ended, and anyone that could end this turmoil over in the Middle East must be the Messiah, and everyone will fall down and worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? Now that's the promo that they're doing, and you gotta know that I'm pretty good at promo, or I wouldn't be able to discern that. Alright? And I discerned this around 40 years ago, and talked about this then, and told everybody that's what they're doing. And you can see it just as plain, I can see it just as plain as the nose on my face if I cross my eyes. That's what they're doing, okay? All right, and I'm not, my eyes are not that good, but believe me, I know spiritually. I see spiritually very well. All right, now let's start out with part 87 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This right now, we're into the consecration, where we give our bodies as a living sacrifice for God to make his home in. We are the home or the temple of God. And in order that we don't disturb that home, or disturb God that's in that home, we surrender our entire body to him so that he can work in us and dispense the things that he's saying through us to the radio audience and wherever, as the Lord is now doing at this very moment. Okay, go ahead and start reading.
A successful true relationship must be a harmonious and a sweet one.
So we're likening now the closeness or the harmonious, the sweetness of the Lord. And it's the same thing with the husband and wife. If the husband says, okay, I own you because you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, you're my wife and you'll do what I say, well, that's not a sweet relationship. at all. So there has to be some sweetness there as well as a regulation. Go ahead.
A true marriage relationship not only rests on the reason of the right that I'm your husband and you're my wife and you will do this and you will do that, but it is based more on love, because when the wife loves her husband, if she does, she becomes one with him and lives with him. So it is in a godly consecration, when we consecrate ourselves to God this way. When the love of God touches us, and we see that he truly is love towards us, that he really loves and likes us, we will then consecrate ourselves to him. Although consecration that is based solely on love changes according to a person's moods or fears or things like that, yet, on the other hand, if we're really, truly, intensely consecrated, it is the result of the constraining love.
Okay, now, the Lord told me to have Sharon read chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs to show what love is not. It's a whorish woman, and you see the world is just packed out with them. And I saw on television on one of the Joni Lamb program where she was just saying, well, it's just wonderful if a wife commits adultery and that the husband forgives her. Of course, this is the only place in the Bible where the Lord says that if she commits adultery, you can divorce her immediately, and that you're not supposed to be loving her as the devil does. You're to get rid of somebody like that because she's no good. And this, not only did this woman that was on there doing the talking have a sex affair with another man, but a child evolved from this illicit sex act. And she just was as empty-headed as a goose, and just yakking, and Joni Lamb was just smiling and saying that that's wonderful. Okay, so read what the Bible says. And the Lord, when they brought an adulterous woman to him, this woman claimed to have been saved before. But after she's been saved and she commits adultery, she's lost forever. Because the Lord likens a relationship with him as a godly marriage that is never to be broken. You become one, and you never separate yourself from your husband, which means you never separate yourself from God. And if you do, your soul is damned forever. Because the Lord loves fidelity. He hates divorce, with the exception when it comes to a woman committing adultery with a man other than her husband. Now let's read chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs. Because if the Spirit of God is living in you, if he isn't living in you, then you're not saved. He says, if the Spirit of the Lord does not abide in you, then you don't belong to him. You're none of his. You don't belong to him at all. Okay, and it's for sure this woman in this chapter does not belong to God. She's a devil right out of hell. Go ahead and read it.
My son, keep my words.
And keep my words. In other words, you learn things, and then I could ask people, some people, even in my church, you know, things that I just got through preaching, and they've already forgot them. He said, keep my words. Remember my words. Rehearse them. Tie them around your forehead. Bind them around your arms. Your fingers, keep them before your eyes. Remember my word. Okay, go ahead, read it again.
My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee.
Okay, make sure that you remember my commandments, because hell and the lake of fire is forever. And so, in other words, now we have the Lord living in us, and remember that you're a child of the Lord. And that the Holy Spirit is living in you, and you don't belong to yourself. Now, if the Lord's in you, you're not lusting after another man, or you're not lusting after some man's wife. How could you do that if that's the Lord living in you? That isn't, you're not saved. Okay, now go ahead. And you're on your way to hell. If you, and the lake of fire forever. Forever. That's eternally. Okay, then what?
Keep my commandments and live.
Yeah, and live eternally. And live more abundantly here on this earth. But some people, they just they get bummed out one day and they just can't get out of the mood. And they figure, well, things are not working for me as the Lord. You know, this is apparently not blessed to me. He's putting you through some fire, wants to see if you're going to stand. So I guess I'll just, oh, there's a guy over there that's paying attention to me. He's flattering me. And that's what this woman said. Oh, he just kept flattering me, and I confess I love to be admired. And she says, I didn't even like the guy. But what happened was, I don't know how it happened, I just don't know, but here we are having sex in bed, and several times until I got pregnant, and we have a joyful time at home now. We have three of our own children and a four-year-old from this man that had sex with me. And so we're all happy, and there's laughing and everything ever since my husband straightened out and wasn't mad at me anymore. He says, I couldn't stand her. He said, I went to my pastor, and he told me, well, now you have to be merciful to her. And he says, what? He says, now you're the one that's wrong because you need to go to anger management. These maniacs would have God go to anger management and to wrath management because God is angry with people like this all day long. And Joni Lamb, you ought to get off the air because you're a novice. You don't even know what you're talking about. I see you make it here. You're condoning homosexuality and just being so nice to them, and then adultery now today. I just saw it today. What is today's date? The 23rd. You know, it's just so vexing to see novices attempting to teach. This is why Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach. Get off the air, why don't you? You're a scar to the ministry, and you're going to pay for it yourself. You're as bad as the adulterer, this adulteress. You're going to wind up in hell if you don't stop your filthy, scummy lying. Okay, then what?
Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye.
Yeah, make sure that you remember the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Make that the apple of your eye. Remember it. Keep it in front of you if you're married. If you're not married, you're not to have sex at all. And in the Bible, there's no dating. If you want to get married, you get married to a godly person. And you make vows before God and man, and you keep them. Otherwise, you're going to spend eternity in the hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
Bind them upon thy fingers.
Bind the law, the commandments, on your fingers. So that if you, every time you go to take a spoonful of soup or whatever you're eating, you're going to see the commandments there. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not be a fornicator. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have no other God before me. But God Almighty, the one who created heaven and earth and made these commandments. Thou shalt not covet. And the Bible talks about homosexuality. Keep that before your mind, before your eyes. Okay, then what else?
Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Right, and that's what the Lord commands us, that he lives inside of you so that you're able, by the spirit that spins this world round and round. Their song said, how does the world go around? How does the world go around? You know, and all this stuff. The world goes around because of this powerful spirit of God. And the Lord's spirit is able to keep you strong and powerful and to keep these things about written on the table of your heart. And if you're not reading, if you're watching cartoons all day long, or if you're watching soap operas, or if you're saying, well, everyone else is doing it, so I might as well. Yes, the Bible does say that everyone else is doing it. But I'm talking about you. Is that where you want to go? Noah and seven other members of his family were the only ones that were saved in the world, in the first world, the old world. The rest of them all drowned. The majority was wrong. The majority was breaking the laws, the commandments of the Lord. And this present world is going to burn. And we're looking for the new world where there'll be no sin. Sin there is off limits. Nothing that is ever sinned after salvation. So the woman that came, they brought before Jesus was not saved. They caught in the very act of adultery, but he says, I forgive you because you repented, you fell down at my feet. And he said, but go now and sin no more. Now, if she committed adultery again, her soul would be in hell and in the lake of fire. Once you're saved, you're not to sin any longer. That's the commandments of the Lord. Now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen unto you. And the Lord said that we must carry a cross, that we must deny ourselves. Certainly, there's all sorts of temptations that come our way. Jesus was in a human body, and every temptation came unto him, and he didn't sin once because he had the Holy Spirit in him. And once you're born again of the Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in you too, and that was the only thing that kept Jesus from not committing sin, was the Holy Spirit in him, the same Spirit that holds up the galaxies, the same Spirit that created everything is in you after you're saved. And therefore, there's no excuse for sinning. If you want to just stoop to the lowly, beggarly things in this world, well, then you're going to have to pay for it. Because you knowingly and willingly would be sinning. You say, well, I don't like my husband. The Lord didn't tell you whether you liked him or not. You don't like him because you're looking at other men. Maybe some of them are more handsome than him. And, you know, the grass always seems to grow greener on the other side of the fence. The very one that you may be lusting after may have AIDS, or they may have some, like, bad breath. Everybody was lusting after Clark Gable, but the one that played the part opposite his love part, opposite in Gone with the Wind, Vivian Leigh, said that he had horrible breath and bad armholes and stinky feet. And Britney Spears, all the guys want to be with her. They said they almost had to put her off of an airplane because her feet were stinking so bad. The things that you see in the movie magazines ain't necessarily so, okay? You wipe the makeup off of their faces, and you're looking at Lena the hyena, maybe, okay? All right, then go ahead, keep going.
Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman.
Hmm. Yeah, understand what the Lord is saying here. I mean, we're just going through this world. What it is just a dressing room for eternity. If you do what the Lord says, if you dress yourself up for eternity with the Word of God, you put on the full armor of God, you'll be in heaven. If you just let your mind roll on and just watch TV and lust after these soap opera people, that have probably got, they were lusting after Rock Hudson. And many people caught AIDS from him. And he died, he looked like a zombie before he died. Lusting. And you ought to see them in hell now. They look like wax melting, just screaming their heads off. Go ahead.
That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words.
Yeah. Be careful of these women that flatter you. They have this smile, and they try to trap you with their eyelids because they paint their faces up. And they smile. Okay, then what?
For at the window of my house I looked through my casement.
This is Solomon talking, King Solomon. I looked through the lattice work the casement. Then what?
And beheld among the simple ones, I just...
really simple. I love this. The simple ones on the street that they don't know the Lord. Simple. Okay, then what?
I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding.
Totally void. Then what?
Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house.
This prostitute. Prostitute, they say in Italy. Okay, then what?
In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart.
She was a hooker. Then what?
She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house.
Yeah, the loud laugh speaketh the foolish mind. It's like a whore. You know, you go by and there's several whores together. You can hear them laughing and cackling. They look like something on the outside, but inside, if you could see the spirit in them, they look like old hags, old witches. And that's exactly what they're doing, is they're hunting for your soul. Then what?
Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him.
You've seen people like that on the streets, right? The streetwalkers, these females. Okay, then what?
So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows.
Yeah, I went to church. It's like the History Channel said that the Vatican, the Catholic churches, had the first whorehouses. And people, if they wanted to have a female companion for the evening, they would just go to the Mother Superior in the church, and the Mother Superior would set them up with an appropriate date in the monastery, and they would pay their tithe and go into the woman. And you know, that was a pretty good excuse too. They could tell their wives that they're going to church. What a cover up. Amen.
Amen.
You can go to church, and the church is a whorehouse. In the book of Revelation, it states that the Vatican, this cult is, or church that sits on this city of the Seven Mountains, is the great harlot, the great whore, the great prostitute, the mother of every abomination on the face of this earth. And that's where the whorehouses started, according to the History Channel. I didn't make that up. You can order that tape from the History Channel, and they'll be glad to get the business. Okay? They're the same people that make the Biography Channel and A&E. And so maybe I shouldn't say that, because a lot of whoremongers will probably join the Catholic cult and go over there and say, well, how much? Okay, then what? Because it's a sleazy, satanic organization. Now, a lot of people are gravitating towards Satan. And, you know, you're going to go to hell anyway in the lake of fire, and so you just figure what the heck? But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I want the Spirit of God in me. I don't want to be concerned about that I've done so much wrong, so much evil, after I've been saved, that I know for sure that my soul, I'm just waiting for the day of judgment, and I know I'm going to hell. Because there is no, when a person willingly and knowingly sins, those cardinal sins, that there remains no more forgiveness, the Bible says. No more repentance. Because the Lord died once and once only, and he's not going to die again for your sins. And so that's why it's important for you to have God's life living in you, to give you the power to where you are not tempted beyond you have the Spirit of God in you. Flesh is easily tempted, but when the Spirit of God is in you, you're able to be more than a conqueror over sin, Satan, and the world, and your flesh, and all the lusts of this world. So have the Spirit of God in you, and live, and remember to remember the commandments. because the Lord is not a kidder. He's not kidding around with you or me. And if you do these things willingly and knowingly and wantingly, there's no hope for you. Okay, go ahead.
Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt.
Yeah, when I was a kid in Helena, Montana, there was a Dorothy and May Baker on Miller Street there. As I was heading down to my paper route, they would, in the morning, I'd go very early in the morning, they'd be sitting in the windows there, going, yoo-hoo, to the different people walking by. Not me, because I was just a little kid. And they want me, Bernie, will you run an errand for us? My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, I'm Jewish. And I changed my name to Tony Alamo years ago when I became a singer. And sir, I'd run errands for them. They'd ask me to step in, and I'd see this beautiful tapestry and these carved beds and everything. And you could smell this weird incense or perfume in the place and everything. And she was not anything personal against anybody, but she was on the plump side. And the other one, her sister down the street in a real shack of a thing, was willowy, tall, and skinny. So, you know, it depends on what type of look you have. You had the choice of two of them there on that street. Then around the corner in an alley near Last Chance Gulch Boulevard, there was another whorehouse there. And it said, she had a neon sign on hers that said, Ruth's. And I'm telling you, I just pray that these girls repented before they went out to meet the Lord. Okay, keep going.
I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon.
Yeah, I've smelled that. You know, I've been in there, and they want me to pay their bills because people wanted to stone them when they were on the street, and they were afraid to get hurt, so they'd have me pick up Chinese food for them down at the OK Cafe and go and pay their light bills and stuff like that. You tip real good. Okay, then what?
Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home.
Yeah, her husband is not at home. So she's a wife, a loving wife while he's at home. And then she's a hooker when he leaves. She can't wait for him to get out the door. I want to walk you to the door, honey, to just make sure that you're gone. Okay, then what?
He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks.
See, this is why we have to, this man is simple. And he's a young man, just simple. And then he's just going like an ox to the slaughter. Then what?
Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life.
Yeah, he's going to die. He's going to go to hell. And the woman herself, she's already gone. Then what else?
Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
So right there tells you that you go to hell if you mess with an adulterous situation, a hooker. And I just heard on Joni Lamb's program tonight, she says that about at least all these thousands of people in churches are doing the same thing. That's why I said before that in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, it tells that there would be a great falling away. And this thing that looks like a revival is that great falling away because they're into a doctrine that is so satanic that it's unbelievable. They say that God is just going to, no matter how, if you're saved, that he's going to forgive you if you live in adultery and fornication, if you have kids with other men, and they're into narcotics and drugs, and they're drunkards, and every ungodly thing in the world. these people, and the Bible says that in that same chapter that God sends them strong delusion because they don't have the love of the truth, the Word of God. They do not love God's Word. And therefore, God has sent them strong delusion that their souls might be damned. Now, God, I'm sure some of you out there know for sure that God told me to have these scriptures read this evening. And why? I was fully said I've got pages of things that I've written here to bring to you, but the Lord just interrupted the things that I had planned, and the Lord had other plans. Okay, so let's continue on with the next few minutes that we have. We only probably have a minute. About a minute?
About 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Okay, great. That's something. Okay, let's go.
If we're truly intensely consecrated, it is the result of the constraining love united with the reason for consecration.
Now, when people don't read the Bible, they can't love the Lord because the Lord is the Bible. The Bible says that God's Word is God. And so how can you love God if you don't know His Word? And that's why the Lord wants you to read His Word, because when you do, you get tremendous confidence that it is the truth. And that's why faith cometh by reading the Word of God and hearing it. If you read it and you don't hear it, that's a really bad thing, because it must enter, because it is spirit and it's life, and it must enter your spirit. He that has an ear, your spiritual ear, the Word of God has to enter in there in order for it to do you any good. So once you believe or you receive or you have faith in that which God is saying, then your faith is built even more. Because you see the things that the Lord says for you to do. When you do it, you become more and more blessed. And the more you read the Word and the more you do what it says, you'll see blessings fall upon you that you've never dreamed of in your entire life. And it's for sure, once you see that happening, you're not going to want to, unless you're insane, want to lose all the blessings. I've seen preachers before that had this tons of finances and everything rolling in, like Tammy, Faye Baker, and Jim Baker. And here they were committing adultery, and they were doing homosexual acts and all these different things. And it's a proven fact, because one of the men that was having adultery with her came with tears in his eyes to my home and confessed it, that he was having sex with Tammy Faye Baker. And they're absolutely ruined, absolutely ruined. And he went to prison. And, you know, there's some people that went to prison that were there for righteousness' sake. But this man was not put in prison for righteousness' sake. And they've had many sordid sex affairs. And because they just got puffed up with the money that they came rolling in. It's a very dangerous thing, riches, because a lot of people are able to make it when they're suffering and they don't have much money and they're living in squalor. They just keep praying to the Lord and everything. But when the money comes in and starts rolling in because they keep the commandments and everything, all of a sudden they're not able to stay saved. The money goes to their head, and fame goes to their head, and then they wind up in bed with somebody else, or they get into homosexuality. Well, I see my time is up, and one thing that you really need to have done, the first thing, is to have God's life living in you. And if you'll say this prayer, the Spirit of God will enter into you. If you did sins ignorantly after you've been saved, the Lord will save you, will forgive you, but if you repent. It says, you know, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father through Christ Jesus, all right? The blood of Jesus. But that means if you repent, if you did a sin of ignorance, if you repent from that sin, the Lord will say, okay, this person for sure is not going to do it anymore, because I see the end at the same time that I hear their confession. They're going to continue on, and the Lord will forgive that. But they keep doing the same thing over and over again. There's no repentance because they're living a life of sin. Now, to have that power in you to never sin, just say these words to the Lord. You'll be born again of the Spirit. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, Have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me, by faith. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word is the truth. You promised, and I know that you've kept every promise thus far. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now praise the Lord and thank him. Just raise your hands up towards heaven and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, give me the hunger and thirst to read your word and to stay strong in your spirit, because it's said, written in your word, that those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Praise the Lord. All right, Sharon, tell them four ways how to receive tape 189. Please specify if you want a tape or a CD, a audio tape, and we'll send it to you free of charge with shipping and handling. There's no charge.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. It'll be part 88 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, praise the Lord, and keep consecrated unto the Lord. Turn your back on the world, utterly forsake it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.